Why don't you open your Bibles with us to the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to John. We want to read just a few verses, very familiar, used it many times before. But it's talking about a transformation. I want you to think on that as we read through the Gospel of John, according to John chapter 4, and go down with me to verse 19. It says this, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." I want you to listen to verse 23 here and 4. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Why don't you stand with us as we pray this morning? Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. Thank You for this service thus far, for the reading of Your Word, the offerings that's been taken up, the songs that's been lifted up. But God, we ask as we turn our attention to the breaking of the bread of life that You take control of the service, that You send Your words, allow us to present them in such a manner that's pleasing to Thee, that You open the hearts and minds of those that's gathered here this morning with obedience, with conviction. Stir up our thoughts. Lord, let us see the error of our ways. Let us repent. Let us seek salvation. Let us draw nigh unto Thee. Lead us and guide us this morning, God, that we'd be found doing as You would have us to do. Let Your will be done and not ours. We love You. We ask these things up in Your glorious Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Once again, we'll say it's very familiar Scripture. It's Scripture that we've used. It's been on our mind a lot in the last several months, and I've studied this from time to time. It's talking about true worship, and true worship is something that I fear is not as common. It's not as widespread as maybe once in time, once in history, and I challenge to say when that might have been, because when I read, I think there's always been a problem of idolatry, a problem of false worship. But I see today in society we build upon a different practice when it comes to going to the church, and that scares me. True worship is not a certain motion. It's not a certain word. It's not a certain act. It's not a certain anything. True worship is not going down to the church house. True worship is not giving to an offering. If you were to take any single work of the hand and say this is true worship, then you would be taking from the cross of Calvary. See, the works that we need was all done, wrapped up, tidied up, and cleaned up on Calvary's hill. True worship is not anything that we can say, I done this, therefore I'm worshiping in truth. Nor can I say that because this was done, it is false worship. See, because true worship is a transformation of the body, of the mind, it is a spiritual worship. That's what is written to us here in John. And Paul writes to us in the book of Romans the same thing. Paul says this, "I beseech you," in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." He says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So Paul teaches us here at our reasonable service is that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. And this happens that when we're not conformed to the world, but when we're transformed by the renewing of our mind.
So when I think about this and I look at what true worship is, I find that true worship is not any single thing that I can say, if I do this, then I'm worshiping in truth. If I did that, then I was worshiping not in truth. It becomes a transforming of our mind. It becomes a transforming of our body and presenting our body a living sacrifice. See, I fear that we live in a time that if we're not careful, we think if we don't, we set our standards. If I don't act like this, if I don't do this, then I'm not worshiping in truth. Well, my goodness, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa shouted in service, so surely we must have to shout to worship in truth. Mom and dad or grandma and grandpa wept at every message they heard, and they cried and they praised, and that must be what true worship is. Or I recall a foot washing. This happened here at Fairview where, was it Brother Stanley Ham? Am I right? They'd get happy and excited. I wasn't here, but I've heard the stories and loved seeing that. Would get excited and happy during a foot washing. So, I mean, if we don't do that today, we must not be worshiping in truth. That's not right. But if we're not cautious, we allow ourselves to believe such things. We allow ourselves to measure ourselves to a measuring stick of such previous worship practice. Did they worship in truth? Well, I certainly feel that they did. I hope that they did. I hope that when I watched my grandfather read the Word of God when he couldn't read a newspaper, that was a way of worship. It baffles my mind that the ability that God gives us to do things. And I've seen true worship. I've seen shouting in service. It was a part of what God used in my conviction. I believe that was true worship, and it was the way that person was able to worship God. But I also have seen people very quiet. Brother Kevin, you mind if I use you for a minute, Brother Kevin? Just today, we praised God in song. Amen. We lifted our hands, and I watched Brother Kevin, and he closed his eyes, and I thought, man, that's worship. You don't have to see my hands raised. You don't have to see me shout. Brother Kevin was worshiping God. He was praising God in his way. And that's worshiping in truth when you do it by being transformed. See, we should be a people that seeks out a true worship, not this stuff we see that measures up to somebody else's device and some other way of doing this. But when I worship God, I want to worship God in truth. And how I worship God in truth is not for you to tell me how to worship God. It's for God to open up through the renewing of my mind and a spiritual awakening, a transformation of my life to be opened up to what true worship is. And mine may vary from yours. Yours is going to vary from mine. They're not going to be the same, praise God. And I'm really excited that our worships are quite different than one another's. Because if they were all the same, this would be a quite bland world to live in. But God has not given us a bland world. Have you noticed how some flowers are red and some are pink and some are yellow? And you put them together and they're a beautiful... I got spring on my mind, by the way. They're a beautiful thing to look at. They're a beautiful thing to watch. They're different, but they're beautiful together. We're different, but we're beautiful together. God didn't make all men white, black, or any certain color. We're different, but we're beautiful together. And we act and we do things differently, and our worship would be no different than that. But true worship will come when we're transformed by the renewing of the mind. Now, if you ever went through a transformation, let me share with you a little story of mine. Most of you have seen this and know this. I lost right at 70 pounds. I have gained some of those back. I am a fantastic human being. I can go up and down. It's a remarkable thing. It is hard for me to lose a lot of weight. Now, I say that, I can lose weight pretty easy. I'll tell you a little secret. You want to be a great... Don't eat. You'll lose weight. That's hard for me to do because I like to eat. And I like to eat a lot. But I went through a transformation, Brother Leroy. I tipped the scales at about 262 once upon a time. I've got that down to about 190 once upon a time. And I'll tell you, I felt different. Clothes falling off of me, Amy buying clothes. Tell you what she did say, though, and it's a good thing. She said, I ain't throwing these away. She said, I've done this before. I've went and bought clothes too many times. Good idea. She's pretty smart. You know, I told her this week, where's them at? Where's that middle? Where's that one pair at? I felt different. Helped my back a little bit. Seemed like I had maybe a little more energy. You know what was amazing to me? Probably the most amazing thing in all losing all this weight is how I slept better. You wouldn't think of it. I slept better. It was a big difference in my life over the 2-year period there or so that this weight went off and my body's changed. And I'll tell you, I mean, we guys don't like that, but even getting dressed sometimes, you just feel a little bit better because you lost this weight. You're trying to do something. It's working. You're putting clothes. Like, whoo, I look good. I went through a transformation. And then people would tell you, some of you, many of you, most of you, you've been losing some weight. You lost some weight. Then it gets, you lost a lot of weight. You lost too much weight. You look sick. And then mama comes on board. Right? Oh. Well, let me tell you something. A spiritual transformation is the same way. It changes your life. You'll feel better with a spiritual transformation through God. People will notice you're going through a transformation. You'll not have a transformation if it's not known and seen. But people's going to notice, just like losing some weight. Listen, my friend, a spiritual transformation will be known by those that are around you. And people's going to, you're going to feel better about yourself because you're going to look into that mirror of life. You're like, whoo, guess what? I feel better because I've drawn nigh to God. And it's far greater than losing a little weight. So we have to go through a transformation by the renewing of the mind. Paul said, it's by the renewing of the mind. Listen, that's important. It's not a physical transformation. Forget the weight thing. That was just an example of how we transform our body. I want to talk to you about how you renew your mind and that transforms your life. Because he said we're not conformed to the things of this world. Now that's a renewal, my friend. Because we live in a world where we like to be conformed to those that are around us, to the things that we do. If you don't believe me, just drive down the road. How many homes do you see with multiple cars and multiple TVs and phones in there? I mean, if we were to go out in the parking lot and say, how many people has a cell phone? I expect it's over 99%. Say, so, yeah, but it helps me because if I have an emergency, do you really need 3 in your car? For an emergency, no. No. I'm not against cell phones. I got them too, my friend. But we conform to the things of this world. We conform to those that we're around. We become like-minded. He said, well, I'm different. And my vinyl side of the house is gray and my neighbor's is white. See, we conform to the things that we're around. But the renewing of the mind, we need to be transformed so that we do not conform to the things of this world. Now, when we're able to see the difference between right and wrong, how do we know this? How do I know? I've had many, many people say, Brother Doug, is this right? Is this wrong to do this? I'm going to tell you that the Holy Word of God teaches us all things that are right and wrong. But even better than that, God has given us a spiritual wisdom, a guidance of the Holy Ghost that we are able to understand and discern, rightly divide the Word of God. And we know what's right and wrong. But our God is merciful. He's big. He's greater than anything that I've just said. It's even bigger than that. Before I studied in the Word of God, before that anybody come to me, the spiritual divine discernment God had given me, I already knew what was right and wrong. Let me say it better, simpler. If you have to ask if it's right or wrong, you plainly already know. You already know. See, and it's through this not conforming with the world that we get into the Word of God through the spiritual discernment and the Spirit of God. And now we become transformed by the renewing of our mind that we do things different than those that are around us. We step into the world and we're not a part of it, but we're in it. We're transformed. We're different. We just dropped 70 pounds and everybody sees it. There's no question whether Brother Leroy stands on this side or this side. I'll tell you this about Brother Leroy. When our barber sees him coming in, he knows what he's going to talk to him about. But my barber tells me about it. You learn a lot of things in a barber shop. Probably a lot of things ain't right. Right? But Brother Leroy has been through a transforming by the renewing of the mind. And he does things different than the rest of the world. You can talk about politics. You can talk about a lot of things. Listen, that's all well and good. A Christian child of God can talk about such things. But there ought to be a time when they see you coming that they know that man right there is going to talk to me about God Almighty. I'm going to have to hear a little bit about him if I trim his hair up today. See, because we went through a transformation, through a renewing of our mind, then we're different. We don't conform to the same thing the rest of the world does. Did you know our government was in a shutdown? Did you know we had to be transformed in the mind? There's more people, I'm afraid, know that we're in a government shutdown than knows that they must go through a transformation spiritually to make heaven their home. How do I do it, Brother Doug? That's well and good. I'd love to be transformed. Sounds great, but I just don't know how to do it. Because you don't know all my problems. You don't know my troubles, and you don't know my struggles that I'm going through. I've got a financial debt. I couldn't pay tithes to church if I wanted to. I can't afford it. So therefore, I can't go to church and be a church member. I'd like to be saved, but I've done so many bad things that there's no way I could find salvation. And the things that I've done in my life. I would love to be transformed, but I just don't know simply how to do it, Brother Doug. I'm going to share with you something this morning about a man named Jesus Christ. You've heard about him. You've been here at Fairview. You've been in church. You've got family. You know about Jesus Christ. I tell you another piece of scripture that's been on my mind a lot, and boy, I like studying, is where it says there in the Bible that he took the keys to the gates of hell. He defeated death, you understand. That's what I'm talking about, Calvary still. And he was crucified on Calvary's hill and put into a tomb and died a death, just like you and I are going to die. But death couldn't hold our Savior down. 3 days he rose up. And then within those times, my friend, he went into the depths there and he took the keys to the gates of hell. Oh, I'm saying he's a gatekeeper. See, that's what it says. You can study this thing out a lot of different ways. It's beautiful. And you can think about he took them from Satan. I don't know. Let me tell you what I learned from this. Taking the keys from the gates of hell. He determines who comes out of that place. Oh, now you might have thought he determines who goes in. That's up to you, my friend. But he holds the key and decides who comes out of hell. You don't go in and out freely anymore. I'm talking about Satan. He has told Satan, you've got some restrictions. I am greater than you are. And he defeated Satan and showed him as much. Defeated death. Oh, he's a gatekeeper. He's the one that holds the keys to the gate. He's the one. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm telling you, he said, I am at the portal in the Bible. This man called Jesus Christ, he is the portal, the gatekeeper, the doorkeeper, whatever name you have. He's the link between your transformation. Oh, see, you can't be transformed unless you understand that Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way, my friend. It's through the Son of God, through Jesus Christ. He said, I am a lamp into your path. He's the way that shows you where to walk. He shows you what to do when you get up. He shows you what to do when you go to bed. And all times, he's the one. I want to be transformed, brother. That sounds good. I don't want to be like the rest of us. Listen, it starts with Jesus Christ. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Think about such a man. A sacrifice is to give up something for a greater cause. It didn't have to be a greater cause. You can give it up for anything, but the sacrifice. There's three different definitions Merriam-Webster's used. That's the one I like the most, so I use this. See, when you give up something, now you've given a sacrifice. We talk about a lot of things. We don't like to talk about fasting much. Remember, I just talked about it. That's one way to lose weight. Fast a lot. I'm only teasing, by the way. That hurts you. But listen, fasting's in the Bible. It's spoken about. How many of us has been on a fast for, you know, we've watered this thing down. Boy, we got a fasting down almost to in science now, right? I'll just give up. I'll give up Sprites because I don't like them anyway. That'd be my fast. I'll fast for a week. Boy, I'm putting a lot on the line here. I'll give up peas. Not my favorite thing anyway. Actually, I like peas, but You see, we've taken fasting and we've watered it down a lot like we have our church services. Because we don't want to sacrifice. Do I believe you should fast? 100% absolutely. If God's moved you to fast, get to fasting. But I'm not talking about fasting alone. I'm talking about a sacrifice. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, now this way. He said, I'm not talking about a 2, 3, 4, 5 day fast. I'm not talking about Sprite or Pete. He said, I'm talking about you. You give up who you are to be a living sacrifice so that the world sees a transformation by the renewing of your mind. And there's no question you've dropped 70 pounds. You've went through some transformation. When somebody sees your life at your body, it becomes a living sacrifice. And oh, here comes Brother Leroy. I'm going to hear about church today. Oh, here comes Sister Helen. I'm going to hear about how her God cured her cancer. Here comes Brother Jimmy. I'm going to get preached to today. Here comes Brother Doug. Here comes Brother Doug. I mean, I'm telling you, when the body's a living sacrifice, things get put into perspective and you're not conforming to the rest of the world, but you become a testament of a living God. How do I get there? Well, you get there through the gatekeeper, the one that's defeated Satan, the same devil that's telling you, you can't do it this way, you can't do it that way, you can't do it here. Let me tell you something, my God has already defeated the devil. He's put him in his place, locked him up, and he holds the keys to when he gets out. See, that God loves you this morning and He wants you to be transformed. He wants you to go through the greatest change. I'm not talking about a New Year resolution or something that ain't going to last or some yo-yo diet or something. I'm talking about a life changing. Everything about you is different. The old man dies out and a new man raises up. Now that's true worship. Then when we come to the house of God, this is what happened. Then somebody gets all excited again about washing each other's dirty feet. No, they're not dirty. We clean them up normally before that night. But somebody gets excited about being in the house of God. Somebody weeps. Somebody cries. Somebody raises a hand. Somebody sings a song. And you worship in the way that God so moves. It's spiritually in your life. And listen, it's a beautiful thing when the red, yellow, and different color flowers come together and raises up praises. That's a beautiful thing. That's the worship I desire to be in. I've seen some crying and some shouting and some running around the house of God. But you know what happens in those circles? I'll tell you what happened. The lost soul gets stirred up in the Spirit of God. I'm still talking about transformation. A living sacrifice. I'm talking about true worship this morning. How do I know when it's true? Oh, my friend, God will show you. But I'll tell you how I know. Not when somebody tells me, but when that Spirit of God just fills me up with the warm and fuzzy. I mean the chicken skin, goosebumps run all over you. Head to toe. Sometimes you're singing. Sometimes it's your Brother Robert gave a testimony. I mean, I'll tell you what. Set me on fire. Got me excited about the need and desire to be in the house of God. I mean, it's God's people He'll use sometimes to show me that my worship is true and holy because it's different than the things of this world. And it's not somebody else coming and telling me and giving me an okay. It's God Almighty. That's tapping me on the shoulder saying, my child, I love you. You might remember when Christ Jesus was baptized that there was a bit of a service there. This is my son who I'm well pleased. I'm so glad that spiritually I hear those words from time to time. Don't be mistaken. I let my God down. I fell Him, Sister Janice, and I hurt because I do it from time to time. And I repent when I know of it. And I beg God's forgiveness. But I still feel that touch from time to time. He says, this is my son who I am well pleased. Oh, praise God. And my God loves me enough that He's willing to talk to me. He wants to talk to you today. He wants you to be a child of His. He wants you to be a son. And it's starts on an altar of prayer. The God of heaven is the only God to serve. That's true worship. I don't need any validation of it. It's through God. True worship is through the Spirit. There's some that's been coming to this church, and man, do I love you. But you need salvation. You don't need it to help me. You don't need it to help your family. You don't need it for any other reason. Then it's the only way for you to find joy in this world. And you know this. It'll do all those other things. But salvation is where joy is found. And you need to wake up in the morning with that joy. Come get us a song, Miss Melody, would you?